major discouragement to me. And I try not to let it stay. I try not to let it stay in my system. I want to get that discouragement out. But sometimes it takes a little longer than usual. But I always go back to, what does the Bible say about discouragement? States many things for sure. We can get a lot of things from the Bible that can help us with discouragement. The Bible is everything that we need to help us through an attack. And while the Lord controls everything, and the trial that you are facing is sent or allowed directly from the Lord, He has given Satan the power to put you through that trial, to put you through things. And like I said, mine's really petty, just gossip, backbite. That's pretty petty. But I think of my sister, she's going through it. But the Lord is allowing this to happen. And know that the discouragement that you're feeling right now is not from God. The Lord wishes you and I to live a full and abundant life. Doesn't sound like a discouragement to me. I don't think that's a full and abundant life. That's not discouraging. And God wants us to live that. He doesn't want us to hold on to anything. And so I'm going to play a word association. When I think, I'll say Moses, and most people will say being miraculously saved, being put in the water and protected as a young baby, having God's favor as a young kid, a favor and having a promotion, his burning bush, the 10 plagues, the miraculously crossing the Red Sea. I love manna. I think, to me, manna is Krispy Kreme donuts. I love those things. And I don't think I could ever complain about eating those every day. But Moses, manna came down. I mean, shoes and clothes that they wore all those years, and they never wore down for 40 years. Water, having water come from a rock, fasting for 40 days. I've done 15 days, but 40 days, that's crazy. But 40 days fasting, Moses did. And then I think about God handwriting the 10 commandments during Moses' time. And there's probably many more things that Moses did that we didn't know or read about. But it is fair to say God was with Moses. And I think it would be also fair to say that Moses lived a fulfilled Christian life. I'm sure God encouraged Moses when Moses had to deal with very tough circumstances. I think of people complaining. Can people actually complain about getting manna? I mean, Krispy Kreme donuts every day, but they did. They wanted meat. People were murmuring. They were talking about. Even his own family was talking behind his back. Man, words can really damage you. But I believe that God would want us to carry on and be about His business. Don't let us fall to the wayside and just woe is me. God wants us to move forward. God doesn't like you when you stay on a situation that could bring you down. And so I think about Moses. He was supposed to speak to a rock, but instead he hit the rock twice, and that was sinful. And that was a sin that Moses did by striking that rock twice. And God tells Moses that he can't enter into the promised land. Man, after traveling 40 years with all those people, murmuring and complaining, dealing with it day in, day out. I'm sure there was a lot of good things, but God wouldn't allow him to cross into the promised land. If you turn to Deuteronomy 3:23, and we're going to go to verse 25. 3:23, it says, "And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do accordingly to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon." Man, Moses, he wanted to go because he sinned. Because he did not do as God told him to do it. That prevented him from going into the promised land. If you turn to verse 26 in the same chapter, But the Lord God was wroth with me for your sakes, and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, Let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah, and let up thine eyes westward, and northward, and southward, and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Moses is discouraged in these verses, and he was asking God to allow him to go, but then God just gives him, I like to call it a verbal backhand in these two verses that I just read, a harsh rebuke. He did wrong, and when we do wrong, there's consequences. I always tell the kids when I'm teaching, listen, I never cause you to be punished. It's the situations that you do or don't do that will cause you those problems. Just one instance that God said, sorry, you're not allowed to go in that promised land. And so that's a harsh rebuke. Back to you and I. What's making you discouraged right now? Is there financial burdens or lack of money? Is it a job? Maybe you have a job that you hear ungodly music all day long, and maybe you have people that curse. They take the Lord's name in vain. I hate when that happens. Maybe your health is bad. Maybe it's not up to what you would like it to be. Maybe you have emotional issues. I hope not, but maybe marriage problems. Maybe your children are acting up. Maybe your children haven't turned out the way that you wanted them to turn out. In-laws giving you problems. Maybe, like I said, people gossiping, murmuring, talking behind your back. Here's the big question. What to do when discouraged? What do we do when we get discouraged? Do we go to a Christian bookstore? Maybe we can find out about how to deal with our problems. I mean, they have a lot of things there that could help you out. Is that the way that you can solve your problem? Maybe we should go to our best friend. I mean, who's going to even say that your best friend's saved? But maybe we should go to our best friend. They know you really well. Maybe they can give you that advice that you need to be able to overcome your problems. Maybe we ought to turn on the TV. Maybe there's some cable shows that they got preachers. They got maybe even Joel Olsteen. Maybe you can hear some nice fluffy message. Just change your discouragement. I don't think so. Before we go anywhere, what does it tell us to do? The Bible. What does it tell us to do when we're discouraged? The Bible has answers. Here we go. Read the Bible. We've got a three-part answer. If you turn to Deuteronomy 3:28, it has all my answers. My whole message is on this one verse, and I'll go through it. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. First thing is we're going to charge someone. Second thing is we're going to encourage someone. And the third thing is we're going to strengthen someone. Yep. Number one, it's charge someone. And I know, Kevin, you probably think, what, I'm just going to go run up and tackle someone? No, that's not how we're going to charge someone. I mean, it sounds kind of fun to let that frustration out. But you're discouraged, and what do you want to do? You want to charge someone. No, that's not. In Webster's dictionary, it says charge is an order, an injunction, a mandate, or a command. Every night before I go to bed, right by my bedside, I have this thing. It's called a charger, and it sits by my bed, and I plug my phone into it. If I didn't plug my phone in at nighttime, when I woke up in the morning, my phone would be on like maybe 10, 15, 20%, and I wouldn't have much of a charge, or my phone would be dead. It would be flatlined. And so I put it on that charger, and it charges up. If I don't, it won't be intended as it is supposed to be used. It will eventually not turn on, and it'll be useless. Once charged, it can last for many, many, many hours before it needs to be recharged again. Here's my illustration. When you are saved, you and I are enlisted in a full-time Christian service, full-time Christian army. And this army is a strong army. And every single one of us, it is our highest calling and cause. There is no higher calling and cause than to be in the full-time Christian service. We all have a certain job to do, And without that charge, we won't be able to do it. We all would admit that life is better, more abundant, when we don't need the charge from being discouraged every day. But it happens. Even the person that always seems on the top side, he gets discouraged. He's just good at not showing it to the rest of the world. I think of their special service. If you want to get a charge, if you want something to help you re-energize you, give you a charge, I think about that thing I told you about in the announcements. July 11th, there's going to be special music. There's going to be a great preacher there, and it is going to charge you up. It's going to give you an excitement that you, just hearing that godly music, that charges me up. It gets me excited. It gets me pumped up. I think about every Sunday night, before we get into the preaching, we have soul winning testimonies. Man, hearing the greatness of God, how he saves people, hearing people come up and say how God worked through them and was able to lead someone to the Lord, hallelujah, that charges me up. I think Brother Kyle, I know he'll attest to this, we got a conference that's coming up. It's called Northeast Vision Summit. Maybe I said it wrong, but it's close, and it's in New Jersey, and this conference is awesome. They got some preachers that, man, they spit it. I mean, they are extraordinary, and they're not like Brother Steve. They're extraordinary preachers, and I'll be honest with you. After I get back from the conference, I get charged up. I get excited, man. That conference gets me pumped up. The music is great. We have great prayer time. We have different classes we can go to. You can pick and choose what class you go to, and you get this spiritual meat, the spiritual insight that will help us grow, and more importantly, it will charge us up. Man, we need that charge. And when you're down and when you're discouraged, this I can attest to this, when you're down and discouraged, there is nothing better than to try to charge someone else up. Just forget your problem and see if you can make that other person, you could tell when someone's bothered, you can tell when someone's hurting, to go up to them and charge them up. That is a blessing, and that will change your discouragement, I promise you. But the Bible has a lot of charging. And I think of when I need guidance, I go to Psalm 32:8. It says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in thy way thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. God tells us he will guide thee. I think when I need peace, I look in the Bible, I turn to John 16:33, and it says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And I was just speaking to a friend from Michigan, and he wanted to uplift me. He wanted to give me a charge, and he gave me, I didn't even ask for it, but he gave me a charge, and it was on direction. And he told me in Proverbs 3:6, it said, in all thy ways acknowledging, and he shall direct thy path. That's he. He will direct your path. He will guide you. He will give you peace, and he will give you guidance. And I'll tell you, man, I get charged up by reading the Bible. Man. So keep your eyes open when you're down and discouraged. Don't just feel sorry. Don't make it a pity party. No one wants a pity party. No one wants to be a part of a pity party. Look to charge someone else up. Look for someone that you can try to pump up and get them back up to where they need to be. Look to charge someone. I remember one time Pastor was preaching, and he was talking. Brother Bob had some situations go on in his life, and I don't know, I can't remember exactly, but I remember this to this day, that Pastor said, he said, Bob, I got some news for you. I got some ways that you can get rid of your discouragement. You can get away any bad news that you have in your life. He said, if you want to get some encouragement, I say you go out and you charge and you give someone the gospel and you go out soul winning. And I promise you, you won't be sad. You won't be hurt anymore. You'll be charged up. That's the truth. But number two, there's a number two. After charge, you have to encourage someone. When looking in Webster's dictionary, it says, dictionary says to give courage to, give or increase confidence of success, to inspire with courage, spirit, or strength of mind. When I read encourage, I feel like the Lord is leading us to help someone emotionally while we are discouraged. I think Brother Bob preached a message not too long ago, and I believe it is all you can do is all you can do. And it was a great message. You had to just sit through it, but man, when it got towards the end, it got me excited. And I was thinking about a brother that I had, that a brother in Christ that was going through some tough times. And I knew, because I've been listening to him, I've been hearing him, and I've been asking God to let me be a help to this brother in Christ. And we should all be asking to be a help to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I was asking, not that I could do it in my own power, because I fail. I can't do it in my own power. But I was asking God, the Holy Spirit, to show me a way that I could be a help to my brother. And that message, all you can do is all you can do. And he was trying to reach his family, trying to get his whole family to be a part the way he thinks, his family to be on the same page. And you can't force this on someone. This is something that just the Holy Spirit leads. And this man was going down, and I just pulled him when it was the altar call. We didn't go up to the altar. I got him in that. I sat right next to him. I said, do you mind if I pray with you? And I got to pray with this gentleman, and I knew it was exactly what the Holy Spirit wanted me to do. And when you're in the center of God's will, and you do exactly what that Holy Spirit wants you to do, man, there is no better place to be. And that is what God wanted me to do. And I was able to pray. I was able to just say exactly what I believe this young man, this gentleman needed to hear. And after I was done, he said, thank you for that. I needed that. That was a big prayer request to help me. Thank you for that. And I said, listen, brother, I'm going to be praying for you and your family, but all you can do is all you can do. And that message spoke to my heart, and I was able to use it to help out another brother. You got to listen to people. I know Brother Matthew, I get to pray with him every Saturday, and he's always listening to find out ways he can help, find out things, and that's an encouragement. Because if you don't know that person that you're listening to, you can't be of a help. You got to listen to see what's hurting them. What are their burdens? Any way that you can be a blessing to someone, you got to listen. You're not going to be able to lift that person up and encourage them if you don't know what they need. And emotionally, you don't have to do things physically. Emotionally, you can help someone out. You need to listen carefully. It says in James 1:19, it says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Man, I was asking God a way I could help that man out, and God showed it to me. I didn't give him $100 or anything, but I gave him words that came from the Holy Spirit, came from my heart. And so after you listen, then be ready to encourage through God's word. Hear the Lord through me, because it was nothing I said to that guy, but the Lord gave me the words to say. Don't listen to me, but listen to what God has said through me. We need to be ready with an answer at all times. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Man, it's telling you to be ready always to give an answer. That's our job. We're Christians. We're supposed to be ready to help others out. In Isaiah 41:10, when I'm being let down and when I'm discouraged, it says, in 41:10, it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of righteousness. Man, that verse speaks to me. I'm encouraged when I hear that verse. That verse encourages me. I think about another verse in Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthen me. Whenever I'm down, I just think of that verse, man, I get pumped up. I get excited. Man, I'm not going to stay down long because, man, I know God doesn't want that. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthen me. Man, just think of that. So today, I hope and pray that point number two, we can encourage someone. Maybe I'm hoping this message, not that I'm doing it, but through God, that I'm able to encourage someone, be an encouragement to us. Now we get to point number three, and this is the tough one for me, but this is one that I can use. It's called strengthen someone. Strengthen someone. I looked up in the dictionary, what does it mean to strengthen? It says to make strong or stronger, to add strength to, either physical, legal, or moral. I believe the Lord is leading us to help someone physically. Now, encourage is to help someone emotionally, but strengthen, it is to help someone physically. Maybe there's a widow that has a need that might not be able to buy groceries. Maybe you can help her out with groceries. I've done it not just for a widow, but for people that on my bus route, if they need, if I have the money, I will take care of them. I want to be a help to my people. Maybe you could pay a bill. Maybe you could give a widow or a friend or someone that is unable to do certain things. Maybe you can give them a ride somewhere. Maybe you can cut the grass. Maybe you can shovel the walk. I remember, this is a true story, you're probably going to think I'm making this up, but I have a friend coming in a couple weeks that can verify these stories. But I had a friend, his name is Richard Wilkerson, and he's coming to town soon. And he said on a Wednesday service at my old church in Michigan, he said, "Brother Steve, I've got to ask you a favor. I have someone that I help out every Wednesday, and I take their garbage out, and she just lives around the block from you. Can you do me a favor? I just don't have the time today. Can you go and take her garbage out for her?" Hey, that's an easy request. Yeah, definitely. And so I did it. No problem. I had a good heart about it. And then the next week he asked me the same question. He asked me like two or three weeks in a row. And I said, "Richard, do you want me just to take over taking the garbage out? I'll do it. You know, it's not too far from my house." He said, "Oh, that'd be great. Thank you." Well, the next thing I know, it comes wintertime. And if any of you guys have been to Michigan, the winters can be really harsh. You got all that lake effect. And she asked, as I was taking her garbage out, she said, "Hey, do you mind if you could help me out with when we have snowfall? Could you, sometimes I just can't get my car out in time, and could you come over and help me shovel my walk?" Man, that's, she asked me a favor. Yeah, of course, I'd love to. I'm excited about it. I want to help someone out. I want to be a physical presence. What a blessing that would be. And so I did it. I did it maybe one, two times. And then a third time came, and my mom and dad, they were out of town, and I had to go over to their house and shovel their walk. Then I came back, and I shoveled our own walk, my wife and our walk. And then I remember my sister, they went to Hawaii. So I had to shovel my sister's walk. And next thing I know, I got my wife calling me, and she says, "Jeannie's calling. She's wondering why that walk's not done. You got to get over to her house. She wants that walk done." I said, "I'm tired. I did three walks. I can't do this. Patty, what do I do?" She said, "Get over there and do that walk." And so I did it, but I didn't have the right heart. I did not. I'm going to confess my sins. I did not have the right heart. And shame on me for that. But your friend that is physically hurting, what can you do to help them? We can be a help to someone. In 1 Timothy 6:17 through 18, it says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." And here we go. "That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate." Fellow Christians, you need, while you are discouraged, to let it go. My friend used to always do this to me, to let it go. He'd always, if he saw me discouraged, he'd just go like this. And I knew that's, let it go, let it go. Don't hold on to it, let it go. He's a big encouragement to me, but he got me in a lot of trouble. But he always let it go and try to help others in meeting the physical needs. He said, whenever you're down or angry at someone, he used to always tell me that, go buy him a nice present. I was like, "What? You're crazy. Buy someone a nice present who I'm angry at?" That's what he would do. He said that's what the Lord would do. And that encouraged me to hear something like that. I got to be honest, I never did something like that, but there's always I could see that it could be a help. But a lot of us, we got a lot of gifts, and it's not hard. I mean, Brother Bob, he knows the Bible really well. Brother Eric knows the Bible. Pastor, Brother Joe. And they can give you a lot of help through Bible. They can find exactly what you need. There's some people that can pray with you. I think Brother Matt, he's a godly man, and he's always ready to pray with one and to help you. And whenever you're down, I know sometimes when before I get up to pray, I'm just nervous, because if you saw the faces that I saw when I'm out here, you would see why I'm nervous. There's some scary faces out here. But Matthew will pray with me, and that helps me emotionally. But all of us can do this. We can all help out and be a physical help to someone. And I even had the same guy, Richard Wilkerson, he had a towing trailer on the back of his truck. And he said, you know what, there's some people that need help moving. It's just going to take a few hours. Don't worry about it. You want to help me out today? And so I said, yeah, I'd love to help out. I mean, I can't do much. I mean, but I got my strength. I can help you out that way. And so we went to this house, and we were only going to move a few things. And Brother Benny, when we came there, I thought there was going to be a big team helping us. And we got to this lady. It was a widow's house. And we got to this house, and it was another widow. And we got to this house. And I looking around, I said, where's all the help? Where's the team? And she said, oh, this is all we got, just me, you, and Richard. I was like, what? She said, don't worry, we just got a stove, a refrigerator, a couch, and if you can get that piano, that would be great. And if anyone's lifted a piano before, those things are really heavy. And so what turned out to be 2 hours, like a full day of work. And it wasn't just one time. It started becoming Steve and Richard's moving company. We would move people. We would help out, and it was a job. And we weren't getting paid. We were just getting paid in heaven. That's what Richard always told me. And I said, Richard, I'm begging. I said, I've been praying, but I'm begging God to sell that thing. Get rid of that trailer. And he finally sold it, and I thank the Lord for that. But many times we can help people out physically. Many times our trials can get us depressed. It can even get us discouraged. Remember, this is not where God wants us to dwell or stay. He doesn't want us to stay down in the dumps. He doesn't want us to stay. He wants us to get back on that mountaintop and be encouraged. He wants us to be refreshed. Even the best of saints, like Moses, ended up at this point where they were discouraged. He was discouraged that he couldn't go into the promised land. God wants us to focus on others and do something for them. It says in James 1:22, it says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We're almost at the end. Many times when I'm in a funk or discouragement, I think of others, and I offer up any help that I can provide. I pray for them. I always understand. I've heard this spoken from pastor many times. Always remember, as bad as you think you have it, I guarantee the other person has it just as bad or worse. And so the haze of discouragement gets lifted away as I concentrate on others. It's like a cloud is lifted away. And I say, man, I can help someone else out rather than myself. And this is the last verse. I know when people say that, I always get worried because it usually never is the last verse. But this is the last verse, but it's a good one and very fitting. It's in Romans 15:32. It says, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. So what's the formula to beat discouragement? What is the formula? There is a good formula. The first part, while you are discouraged, don't stay discouraged. Let it go. God says, go find someone and charge them. Use that. Charge them. Second thing God says, go find someone and encourage them. And the third thing is, he says, go and strengthen them. Refresh them. Remember, in the first Deuteronomy 3:28, it says, but charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for the preaching time. Lord, I pray that this message was a help to the congregation, help to our visitors. And Lord, I pray that we all need help with our discouragement. We all can, instead of feeling sorry for ourselves, we can look on others. We can look to help many other people. We all have gifts. Lord, I pray that you would help us to use these gifts. Lord, I pray that if we're not using these gifts, I pray that today we'll just take a stand and say, you know what? I'm going to start using these gifts. I know the Bible. I can help someone else find their way and to encourage them in their Bible. Man, maybe I know something spiritually. Maybe I can pray with someone. Maybe I can be a big help to someone by praying with them and just being that kind of help spiritually, encourage them. And Lord, I pray that if someone says, hey, I don't have a lot of those attributes, but I have some muscles, I can help someone, I can encourage someone by helping them and strengthen them. Lord, I just pray that you would just help our people be a help me to others, Lord, to be someone to encourage others when we're down. Lord, there's no better encouragement than to encourage others. And Lord, as the piano plays,